Hey moms, welcome to the Gather Moms podcast. My name is Kate.
And I'm Rebecca. We've created this space just for you because we're both moms and we get you.
Yes, we believe there truly ain't no hood like the motherhood and we need to be in this together. We also believe we can't mom well without Jesus, so you're going to hear us talk about him too.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Gather Moms and make sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss a single episode.
All right, mamas, let's jump in. Hey moms, welcome back to the Gather Moms podcast. We are so glad that you're here as we are in our season of mom struggles and talking about all the struggles. Last time we talked about the struggle with hair. This week, what are we struggling
with? You better like qualify that. They're going to think we're talking about the hair on our head. We're talking about the hair on our legs.
Toes, chins. Yes. I also have problems with hair on my head.
Yeah, but you've talked about that again. You're doing them vitamins.
I am. And maybe it's working.
That's also on my social feed. All these people be taking Nutrafol. Come on, Nutrafol. Do your thing.
It is so expensive. It should be magic, the price you have to pay for the monthly subscription.
Yeah, but then on your social the other day, you talked about your eyelash serum. You said that was expensive too. Friend, how many expensive products do we have over here?
Listen, ma'am, we're just throwing money at
I just bought
products.
Some L'Oreal at the grocery store for like $12.
What's your L'Oreal for?
It's illuminating face. Not foundation. I don't know what you call it. It's illuminating something.
Oh, good for you. Okay, well, the lash serum really does work. That one has been a game changer, and I'm sticking with that. The others, I don't know. So this week, we are talking about the mom struggle of burnout. And I am curious to know from you, have you ever experienced burnout?
How many times in a lifetime can you experience burnout? Is it possible? Like once a month, once every 6 months?
Yeah.
The time that I remember experiencing it the most was when I stopped working at the church to go home to be with the kiddos.
Okay.
Because I remember saying this phrase to myself, is this what God intended for my life?
Wow.
Because you get to that place where you're like, this just doesn't seem right.
Oh, man. Okay. So how old were the kids at that time?
I think Abby was 3, so it would have been 3, 8, and maybe 13 or 14. So middle school, elementary school, and at home with me.
And what do you feel like was contributing to that?
I just think I'd hit a new season of motherhood, and I was not able to keep doing the same amount of things I was doing in the previous season.
Yeah.
And you can't always make that decision to stop working because of financial need, but it worked in our favor for that season. And so I was able to go back home, and I just, the relief, that day that you walk out for the last time.
Well,
like,
because,
peace out, staffers. I'm going home.
I remember it. And that was a brave decision that you made. And you believe that you were walking into what God was asking you to do.
I knew without a doubt he was calling me home.
So then how did that mess with you then when it's like, wow, this is not what I hoped it would be?
Like the next morning. I mean, the devil comes for you immediately. He does not give you a break.
Yeah.
No, because I think you struggle with that. But do you struggle with that even if you're a working mom?
For sure.
There's always something that you're not doing.
Uh-huh.
So there's always a way for the enemy to say, well, you should be doing this or whatever it might be. But no, honestly, I probably am still struggling with that a little bit because I've got part-time jobs now. So I don't really feel like I'm like fully invested in one place.
Yep.
So you're just piecing together different things. Yep. And I think the enemy messes with you there too, because even though I knew God called me home and I knew I was supposed to be there and I can look back and see all the fruit, every time you turn around, you feel like, well, am I actually doing stuff that matters?
Yes. So how did you get to the point where you realized this is bad and I can't keep going like this and like maybe need help or something has to give?
I don't think we ever know immediately, you know, because it's sometimes you look at people like someone from the outside can look in and say, oh, girl, you got to stop.
Right.
But the person on the inside is like, no, I can do this a little bit longer. I can do this a little bit longer. You never know immediately that you're in burnout mode. It almost takes 6 months of like terribleness.
I agree.
To push you over the cliff to go, okay, I'm done. I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But you wish, why didn't I know that? Like way back on month one, why'd it take me so long?
I don't know, but I agree. I think that's one of the big problems with burnout is it's not usually like obvious. And so we go through a season where it just pushes our limits so much that we find ourselves burned out. Or you may go through something catastrophic in your life or something big that happens and you hit burnout. So I remember the most recent thing that happened for me was we had some people in our family were going through a really hard time. And so they came to stay with us. And I felt like that was the right thing to do because they were in a bad spot. They needed a safe space. And so they came to stay. And so while they were here, you know, somebody though that is in a bad spot, then when they come into your space, they're bringing the things that they're struggling with them. And so then you're navigating that alongside of them and your family and helping them through it. And I tend to be a person who, you know, I think I can be overly empathetic where I take it on. You know, do you do that with some people? No, I know you're a lot better about it. You're a lot.
Then you can say that I'm cold a little bit because I don't take it on. But
see, my husband is that way. It's like he can know that they're hurting and feel sympathy for them, but he doesn't enter into the pain in the same way. For me, I feel it so fully and it affects me so much. And so this went on for a few weeks. And then by the time the family left, I looked at Jeremy and I was like, that took every single thing I had plus. Like I have nothing left and I can tell I'm in a bad spot. And for someone who has struggled with depression and is, I just think, you know, that's just one thing I'm a little bit more prone to and it keeps me tethered to Jesus because I need
right,
him.
Right.
I have gotten more aware of what it feels like before I'm about to go in the pit. And so thankfully I said, I need to go see my counselor and I went to see her and we came up with a plan. But Rebecca, what that meant for me was that I had to go spend a night in a hotel room, eat a good meal, and just like not talk to anybody, talk to God, go for big walks and just like take a minute to evaluate how am I going to get back some margin because this took everything I had mm-hmm. and more. And now I, myself and my family are going to suffer if I don't figure out how to turn this around.
Well, that's the thing. When you don't know you're in burnout mode, your family is suffering.
Yeah.
But you're just managing the suffering because you're like, I don't know how to fix this right now. So yes. We're just going to have to push through.
Yes.
Like burnout is not just you. Because we're moms, everything that affects us affects everybody down from us.
Yes. That old adage, you know, if mom ain't happy, yes. Ain't nobody happy.
Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe in the house, you know?
Yes, because, yeah, we set the temperature in our homes and everything can start to deteriorate. So burnout is, you know, other words for it are exhaustion or overwork. From Urban Dictionary, which Urban Dictionary is always a trip. Like you never know.
Do you ever do Wikipedia? Is that the same thing as Urban Dictionary?
I mean, Urban Dictionary, I feel like is a little more like in the culture.
Legit.
I don't know.
I always feel like when I see Wikipedia, there's like a big blaring sign that says, don't read, don't read.
Yeah.
It's side lies,
eye.
Lies.
Yeah. It's a side eye. It's like, okay. I'm going to use this, but it's not the most credible source, you know? But Urban Dictionary said it's a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by excessive and prolonged stress. It occurs when you feel overwhelmed, emotionally drained, and unable to meet constant demands. Oh boy, if that ain't motherhood.
Is that like today? Was that yesterday? I feel like that's every day. What?
It's like you could exchange the definition for burnout for motherhood. Motherhood, a state of emotional, mental, physical exhaustion caused by excessive and prolonged stress.
You know, I hope this is encouraging to somebody listening right now.
I just think it's very real. I think it's very real. It's like, I just want to normalize the fact that like, if you're feeling run down and exhausted, like same sis, you know, we feel it.
Which is why when you meet a mom that's not in burnout mode, there's a little bit of you that's like,
yeah. What's the secret sauce?
What?
Yeah.
Like I get jealous.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
P.S. we have some help coming for that. So stay tuned to Gather Moms for what we're rolling out for you in May. Hilariously, May is like, do you think it's the hardest month for moms?
I mean, I don't know, because right now feels hard. So is May going to be harder?
We call May, Maycember. But okay, Rebecca, to be honest, you're really under it right now because you have a senior graduated from high school. And I think you are in an especially hard season. Just watching your life, I just think that's true for you.
You mean the financial aid meeting I'm having later today where they tell me how much money I'm going to owe for the next 4 years?
Yes. I think you're feeling that. And I have been...
Maybe May's going to be amazing for me then. Because maybe I'm going to get to May and be like, it's over.
Amazing.
I'm going to be amazing.
But with like a graduating senior, I remember my senior year in high school, like the number of... Okay, obviously, you don't remember anything. Mm. But the number of graduation parties, all my little girlfriends had all these little teas. We had, I mean, what? Prom, all kinds of things.
I remember nothing.
Okay.
Must have been glorious.
Yeah, it was a wild banana time. And for a girl, you got to have like 15 different
dresses.
That's
why I feel blessed. I have a boy. So I feel like on some spectrums, like I'm actually really like I won the lottery.
Yeah.
It's a boy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's a boy.
It's a boy. You know, maybe I didn't want a boy straight off the bat when I got pregnant, but now I'm like, I'm so thankful I got a boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, May can be amazing, but we have something coming out where we want to help you through it. And we want to help ourselves, honestly.
Come on, let's just be truthful.
Because we know if we do these things that we challenge ourselves together in this accountable way.
And then we have to tell our husbands, I have to do this because it's for Gather.
Yeah.
So I have to be the example. So I'm doing all these things.
It's going
to
be highly motivating.
Highly motivating.
Okay. So we'll tease that out a little bit more. Next episode, you'll hear all about it. But be prepared. May is going to be amazing.
Amazing.
So let's talk about, back to the subject, symptoms of burnout. Now, this is where this is going to get a little womp womp. But I think there, let's be honest, there's like a general tiredness that comes with motherhood.
Yes.
But what we're talking about here really, you guys, is like, true burnout where you're just in a bad place. Like you literally have nothing left. It's too much. What's being expected of you is too much. You're giving too much. It's honestly like something needs to give because it's not working. Because really then what starts to happen are these things. These are the symptoms. A general emptiness. There's like an apathy that comes with it where you're like, okay, well, here we go again. You know, we're just going to put our shoes on and move along. You know, like I've told my story before that my song in the morning when I had littles and I couldn't get out of the bed was Dolly Parton's dun, 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 tumble out of bed. And
I want you to know that when I see Dolly, I think of you.
Do you?
Anything in the world, in a store, a shirt, a button, like you are the image that pops. Not her face, your face.
She's my homegirl.
You are the homegirl for Dolly Parton.
Can we just be honest though that, listen, Beyonce's coming out here with this Jolene. Dolly Parton is.
Oh my
gosh,
I totally thought of you. I was like, how dare you? Kate will never receive that. That is Dolly's song. Stop it.
But I remember having littles at home and being so burned out and just getting up in the morning and just being like, well, it's coffee. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just do it again. Here we go again. Mm-hmm. And just there comes this kind of apathy where you're just kind of going through the motions. Tired, low emotional energy. And then some people experience body aches, insomnia, changes in appetite. And then we definitely see it emotionally. Often we get short-tempered, impatient, angry easily, cry easier. And it really is just, you know, a result of that emotional margin. And we've let it go on for too long, so we start to break down. But I want us to talk a little bit about what is making moms burned out. Because this topic resonates with both of us. Mm-hmm. And so I want to hear from you. What do you think it is that is making moms burned out?
I mean, some of it's what we talked about in the last episode about mom guilt.
Yeah.
You feel like you're not producing enough, so you're overdoing it. Mm-hmm. You're carrying around some lie from the enemy that you're not a great mom, and so you're about to slay because you want to prove that you are.
Yeah.
Overcompensating?
Okay, overcompensating.
Yeah.
And then just these random pressures of like that you have to be at everything.
Yeah.
You know, that you can't miss a single thing for yourself or for your kids, that while they're there, they have to have on the perfect monogrammed outfit with the perfect bow and the perfect backpack and everybody's got to be clean and shiny. that you have to go on the right trips and take the right pictures mm-hmm. and send out the right Christmas card. Mm-hmm. It's this weird, like, I wonder if our moms went through a list in their mind of when they imagine the perfect mom who is just doing it, you know, like, what is that list look like for her?
Yeah.
It's just this, it's this wild thing our culture has handed us of yes. like, this is what it means to be a good mom.
You know, we were cleaning out Abby's closet the other day, and I think sometimes when you have too much, you feel burned out. Well, that's what we just said. But in the idea of like stuff.
Yeah.
And as soon as we cleaned out her closet, there was this immediate sense Ooh. Of lift.
Yeah.
Because there was less to take care of.
Ooh, girl. That's
and
good.
So sometimes I think about, because I was just sitting here thinking, yeah, but what about the stuff I have to do? Like, I have to do the laundry and I have to do meal prep. But do I have to do 12 loads, or could I just say to the kids, these are your three outfits for the next week? And we're just going to wash and rewear. Because when you take some of that off, it is freeing.
So, and that's my next question then is, you know, yes, there are all these things that are making moms feel burned out, which, by the way, let's mention a couple more. Okay. Moms, when we look at research, studies are out there. Moms are the primary ones who are making the doctor's appointments, mm-hmm. taking kids to the doctor's appointments, buying the groceries, cooking the meals, running the household. I mean, they're still the right. primary ones doing that.
Right.
Even though so many moms have gone back to work, the labor hasn't shifted.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's been something that's come up with mom struggles that we're, yes. we're just kind of looking at is there is a lot on our plates.
Right.
That we are managing in addition to just being a good mom. There's the whole homemaker piece of the deal.
Right.
So I think that's part of what contributes to burnout. But I think that we need to be really honest that we as moms are also contributing to our own burnout.
Yes. Agreed.
How do you think we're contributing to our burnout? Because you just started to touch on it.
Well, it's just the idea of like, I have to decorate for every holiday, or I have to, I mean, I have a bunny, but I didn't put it out at Easter this year. And you get to the end and you're like, oh, bummer, I missed the bunny. But then I didn't have to clean up the bunny. So there's a part of you that's like, okay, but that was worth it because it was one less thing for me to do.
Yes, but why do we feel this compulsion to decorate for every holiday? Like, why do we have to put out flags for 4th of July? Why do we have to put out pumpkins at fall?
Part of it's fun.
It is partly fun. But if you are already maxed to the margin, you've got to let some of that stuff go.
Cut it. You got to cut it. That's why with this whole meal thing, you know, like you always want to come up with a new meal to make. Why? Mm-mm. It's just, it's ingredients I don't normally buy. So then I'm going to the grocery store again. I'm just going to make ranch style bean casserole for the 24th time. And it's going to be fine.
Let me say, I don't think enough people talk about this. We eat the same 5 to 7 meals over and over and over. And let me tell you what, my people are happy.
They're happy.
And that way we're buying the same things at the grocery store. We're not putting out new mental, emotional energy with, because you try a new recipe, what if that thing goes sideways?
It always goes sideways because Greg's always like, why do you choose to make new things? Because they always go sideways.
I will tell you, I was like, you know, we haven't had pork chops in probably like a year. Why don't I put pork chops in the rotation? Jeremy's like, I'm just not a big fan of pork. I'm like, you know, then I want to murder him. But I know what he loves. So why don't I just keep serving what he loves?
Listen, I do have a friend that pork chops are on their weekly rotation. I just have this like draw to it. Like, well, that sounds enticing. Maybe we should try that. But you just reaffirmed to me, I don't need to try the pork chops. It's not in my rotate. It's not in my wheelhouse.
Okay.
Sorry.
And I actually think pork chops are delicious, but I used to make them with like panko crusted pork chops, which are so good.
Anytime you crust something, your kitchen's a mess.
I know. But now with, you know, not doing gluten, I'm not panko crusting anything. Yeah. And it probably does take away a layer of fun.
Listen, you want to talk about gluten burnout? I mean, that's a whole nother episode because I can't eat half the things my family does. So I'm having to have lunch meat while they have spaghetti or something.
Well, and it's
don't
like,
talk to me about your gluten-free noodles, people. I'm not there yet. Okay. Give me a minute.
You could have food burnout is very real as a mom because just the the messaging about organic and make your own. And I mean, bless these women that are making their own bone broth and sourdough starter. And
I give Abby melatonin at night before bed. I just read this article about how it's bad for your kids. So I'm like, dang it. Do I have to get rid of the melatonin now too? Oh, but people, what are we doing?
But is it? It's like sunscreen. It's like sunscreen. It's like y'all are getting cancer. Are you going to get it from the sunscreen or are you getting it from the sun? You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. Please don't take that clip out and put on social this week. I think it's going to scare people. Y'all people getting cancer. Let's not do that one. Okay.
But I had to throw my hands up at that one. I think we can get information burnout where it's just emails. All the things of like, you got to do this, you got to do that. Or yeah, just processing all. And I feel it coming up with summer activities. I have literally take a day where I sit down and go, okay, this child's going to this camp. And can we talk about something real quick? I love our school district so much. I'm crazy about it. Really don't have a bad thing to say.
But
except for the fact that for basketball and volleyball camp, can I just tell you right now, you have to print out a document.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to write mail a physical check to these people.
Isn't it fun to write them? Because we never do that anymore.
No. I don't even know where the checks are. Y'all got to make me find a stamp. I
got
to print.
Oh, I got stamps. I love stamps.
Like, where is the Venmo? Where is the code? Uh-huh. I know y'all got this RevTrak. I pay everything else on there. What are we doing? It is not 1998.
They're getting there.
Okay. Well, that's a little platform I have.
Yes.
Whoever is listening, could we please?
Listen, that goes back to mom guilt where we said, if you don't send your kid to basketball camp, they are not making the team in the fall. So you best get on that. Okay.
So I think that we are contributing to our own burnout.
Well, and that's what I came to recognize with my daughter is that the reason I get so frustrated at her room is because I've given her too many things.
Yes.
So she cannot keep up with them and put them up. Correct. So when you clean out and get rid of the extra and you just have the necessities,
ma'am.
Oh my gosh, it's so much easier to keep up with.
That's the message right there. That'll preach. Because that's the truth of the matter. We have allowed too much into our lives.
Yes.
And I am not one of these people, but you know, some people have FOMO and they just cannot even handle not going to the thing or doing the thing because they're afraid of what they're going to miss out on. Miss out, ma'am. You need a nap, not another party, you know? And so
that's your little introvert coming at you. We got some extroverts too that want to be at all the parties. Okay. That's how they get filled.
It is fulfilling for them.
Let them fill.
I know, but can just show up to the party and don't bring 25 things. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, let's pull it back.
That's right.
So there is a group of people in the Bible. This is a hard right turn to the Bible portion of this podcast.
Did y'all know we love Jesus around here? Here he comes, riding up on the donkey. Let's go. Who are they?
Well, listen, can I tell you, we're at 21 minutes in and we have not yet talked about Jesus. We should bring him into the conversation, okay?
Did you do a word search on burnout in the Bible? Did you do that on the internet? Say, where is that in the Bible?
No, can I tell you something that's actually kind of cool? And I don't really know why. I still don't fully understand why God has me here. But right now we're sitting in the month of April. In January, I heard the Lord tell me to study the passage in scripture. It's Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Mm-hmm. And I started studying it, and I am still studying those three verses.
That's awesome.
And it's been a really neat journey. Like even this morning, and so basically I'm taking word by word, studying that word in the Greek, looking at all the cross references. I've read a bunch of commentaries and then just processing through it multiple ways. And it's been fun.
Yeah.
But this morning when I was studying, I just was like, you know, let me go ahead and read the whole book of Matthew again up to this point. So I have a good context for what's going on here. And so this scripture in Matthew 11, you guys have probably heard this before. So, but I want to read it and then let's kind of put on our Jesus sandals and walk around there with them a little bit in where they were in the Middle East, Turkey region, what we would call it today.
Are we not in Jerusalem? What's happening?
Well, they weren't. I mean, they were in Galilee.
Okay.
Okay. So the scripture says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So this is Jesus talking to the people that have started following him. Because at this point in Matthew 11, he has now, he is fully into his ministry. He has his disciples. He's already done where that he sent them out and they've come back. He's been doing miracles. He's done the Sermon on the Mount. And so his ministry is revving up, and this is where he's going to start telling them even more about what it looks like to live alongside him. And so he's talking to these people, and I don't know if you've ever noticed before, but here he has three actions and a promise, because he says, come to me, mm-hmm. take my yoke, learn from me. Okay, we're going to have to edit that little portion because I was like, what is the third one? Okay, let's try this again.
I saw it on your face. You're like, where's the action word?
Yeah.
You were looking. Uh-huh. Okay. It's all right.
So I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but he has three actions he's calling us to that then result in a promise. So he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Then he says, take. So far we've got come, take my yoke upon you. And then he says, and learn from me. So come, take, learn. But then the promise is that we get rest. Mm-hmm. And the people that he's talking to here, when he's talking about yoke, that's such a foreign term for us.
It is.
Right? Then this is not Y-O-L-K, like an egg yolk. You know, this is Y-O-K-E. So this is a yoke. And so a beast of burden, a calf or a cow or whatever, would wear this wooden yoke across their necks. There would be two of them teamed up together. And that's how they would do work, is next to each other, shoulder to shoulder. And the Israelites that he's speaking to, and especially those that were believers in Yahweh, in God, they knew what a yoke was. At that time, anybody that they were learning under a rabbi, it would be the yoke of their teaching. So they knew, they used yoke in that context. And he talks about how, remember how much he gets onto the Pharisees about how they're putting extra burdens on the people that they're not even willing to bear themselves. And so the yoke that they're feeling is all of these extra laws that they have, where when they were given the law by Moses, it was pretty simple. Now there was some wild stuff in there, but the Pharisees then had taken it and just made it so complicated. Whereas God had told them that they needed to rest on the Sabbath and not do any work, the Pharisees had worked that out to say, if you step on the grass and you bust open a seed pod and that pod falls to the ground, that is work because you are planting. And so you have to do, you know, recompense for the fact that you have sinned against God.
Oh my goodness.
And so it was just this heaviness of like, you could never possibly do all the things that they were expecting you to do. And so that's who Jesus is talking to. And he's saying, come to me. Instead of going to this and trying to find the answers, come to me. And do you know that anytime he uses this phrase, come to me, it's a few times in the New Testament. Every time he says that, it's to receive a blessing. Every single time. He's inviting someone to a feast. He's inviting them to rest. And I love that that's the promise of our Savior, that when we answer his call to come near to him, that it's because he wants to give us a blessing.
It's kind of different than when mom is yelling in the
listen.
House. Come! It's really not for a blessing. It's because you've left your shoes or you didn't take your laundry to your room.
Can we make a note that if that's how you hear Jesus, if his voice in your head is, come here.
Because that's how we use it.
Can you?
I never even considered that I might be taking the way that I respond to my kids and putting it back on Jesus and thinking, oh God, when he says come, it's because I did something wrong and he's got to fix it.
That is not his voice. You know, that is not his voice. It should be the voice of like, you know, I can just picture Jeremy coming home from a trip and having a surprise for the kids, you know, and he's opening in the suitcase and he's like, come here, you know, and yes. He has something he wants to give him.
Yeah.
That's more of what we're talking about here. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. And I don't know about you, but like, if I'm tired, I really am not wanting a yoke. You know, I'm like, well, where's the spa day? Where's the pedicure? Because yoke, really, that's your answer to my tiredness?
What if it's like a really pretty shawl that he wants to lay on your shoulders?
Even still, he's about to ask me to get out in that field. And I'm like, no, sir. Don't you know what I already been up against? You know, like, can we have a rest day first? I love though that, cause the yoke, I just feel like it's such a hard concept for us.
It is.
But there's a theologian, I love his commentary, and he described this about the yoke. His name is Frederick Bruner, and he said, a yoke is a work instrument. Thus, when Jesus offers a yoke, he offers what we might think tired workers need least. They need a mattress or a vacation, not a yoke. But Jesus realizes that the most restful gift he can give the tired is a new way to carry life, a fresh way to bear responsibilities. He goes on to say, realism sees that life is a succession of burdens. We cannot get away from them. Instead of offering escape, Jesus offers equipment.
Ooh, I love that. Yes. That's a really cool way to think about it.
Yes.
Something to make what you're doing easier. Not easier in the sense that like I have to do less work, but easier in the sense that I'm getting more production out of the effort I'm putting in.
And then it's just different. Like, it reminds me of like, have you ever ridden a bike that has gears on it and you're in the wrong gear?
Yes.
And you're
super hard to pedal.
You're trying to turn the wheels over and like, you just, you're like, oh my, this is so hard.
Yes.
It's like Jesus is coming along and like, sis, just, you know, click the little thing with your thumb.
You're in the wrong gear.
You're in the wrong gear, man. Uh-huh. Let me show you how to do this. And all of a sudden he switches your gears and those wheels start moving and you're like,
wow,
okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Because the fact of the matter, I love what Bruner is saying here. The fact of the matter is, I do think we're longing for escape. It's like we make these vacations and we set them on our calendar because we just cannot wait to escape.
Yes.
Because the world is too much.
Right.
But that's not a realistic way to live life.
No, it's not.
And especially as moms, we chose this. We love our children and there are responsibilities that come along with them.
Right.
And so instead of asking to like run away to Mexico, we want to be able to have the equipment to love them well and carry this calling well.
Right. And to have more joy in the work we're already doing.
Yes.
It's like Jesus is adding joy back into it, going, no, you've got the wrong yoke on. Just try this one.
Yes.
It's really going to work better for you.
Yes. And I have another guy I really love. His name is Andrew Murray. And he points out that really the problem is not the yoke. It's our resistance to the yoke that causes the angst within us.
Yes.
If we would just be willing to say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to come up under here with you. I trust you.
Right.
But, and that it's that abiding with him. It's the nearness with him where he leads and he directs.
Yes.
We're just unwilling to give him that much control.
Yeah, I agree.
And trust that he is going to bear the burden for us and show us the way.
Agreed.
So he says, come to me. He wants to offer us a blessing. He says, take my yoke. And he offers us the equipment to live a life where he takes the burden.
Right.
And then he says, learn from me. And I think when we look at the list of the things that we are doing as moms, it feels so much like the list that the Israelites were carrying, the Jewish people were carrying. This just mountain of unattainable things to be a good Jew.
Yes.
We have a mountain of unattainable things to be a good mom. And those things do not come from Jesus. We have accepted this burden that our culture has placed on us that says, this is what you need to do and this is what you need to be. And Jesus says, no, learn from me. Look at what I have to say about what's important in life and how we are supposed to live.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, then he offers rest. And to a mom that is burned out, rest sounds really good.
Really good.
And it's a rest that you can keep going in. So in this scripture, I didn't read the second part, but you know, he actually says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. And that's one use of the word rest. And then at the very end, he says again, and I will give you rest. He actually promises it twice within that section of scripture. The very first time that that word rest is used, it is a single opportunity. It's a one-time gift that he is giving to someone else. It's a reflexive verb is the way that it's used.
Okay.
The second time when the word rest is used, it's in an ongoing tense. And so it's as though these two rests, the first one is for salvation and the second one is for communion. And I think that's how we want to live.
Mm-hmm.
So many of us, if you believe in Jesus, you probably accepted his rest at salvation where you said, I need you. I am a sinner and I cannot do this on my own. Mm-hmm. And so I'm relinquishing and I want to enter into the rest of eternity with mm-hmm. you. But I wonder how many of us have accepted the second rest that Jesus offers, where he wants us to live at rest with him, in mm-hmm. communion with him. And if you haven't ever experienced that rest, and if you are in a state of burnout right now, Mama, I would encourage you to go read John 15 and read it over and over and over and learn what Jesus has to say about what it means to abide with him. Abide means make your home in, that we could make our home with Jesus where we are with him constantly and we get his peace, his joy, mm-hmm. his kindness, that those would be the symptoms of our lives. Instead of us describing our lives as overwhelm, apathetic, short-tempered, that we would be able to switch that yoke for the one of Jesus and say, I want my life to be described as peace, joy, happiness, that those are the things that Jesus offers. So I just think as we think about burnout and as we consider where we are right now, Mom, I would love as you're listening, just like, think about zero, you've got no burnout. You're out here skipping in the streets. Like, praise God, if that is you, praise God. Or you're at a 10 and you are struggling to get out of the bed. You are struggling to find purpose. You're snapping at your kids. You know you have passed the point. Like, gauge where you are right now. And then my next challenge for you would be to say, okay, what has been added on here mm-hmm. that does not need to be here? Just like Rebecca and her daughter's closet, like what needs to be cleaned out because there's too much? That is not the way of Jesus. Those extra burdens are not the good life that Jesus has planned for you. And would you go to him and say, okay, I'm laying that stuff down because I want your yoke. And ask him to show you how to mom in such a way that is a mom at rest. That's the opportunity we have when we walk with Jesus.
We love you, moms. We love you, moms. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.